You're listening to an audio resource from Vineyard Church of the Rockies in Fort Collins, Colorado. We are joining God's mission, transforming all things, and you're invited. To learn more about us and how you can connect, please visit votr.church.
Together. Good morning, everyone. For those of you who took a few days away for spring break, like my family did, it's good to be back. It's good to worship with all of you, and so grateful to start our week gathered together. So I just want to take a minute to welcome everyone on the live stream as well. So grateful you're with us. If we've never gotten a chance to meet, my name is Jeff. I'm the lead pastor here at the Vineyard, and I want you to know that we're praying for you and hoping and expecting that you will experience God's love and presence this morning as well. Quick announcement before we jump in. As always, if you go to votrweekly.org, you can find everything that's happening at the Vineyard. And we have a full slate this spring and early into summer, even with National Conference just down in Denver. We'd love to invite you to that. But want to highlight Easter and Good Friday service, which is just 2 weeks away. This is coming really early this year, and always an incredibly meaningful time for people who are following or interested in following Jesus. You probably saw some invites on the seats near you when you came in. I want to emphasize just how important your invitation is to our community. I can draw a direct line from people who have been baptized in our church in the last year to personal invites from other folks in this room. There's nothing that works like sharing the love of Jesus Christ like a personal invitation. So take those cards, share them with friends and family. You can download that same invite online at votrweekly.org, put it on Nextdoor, share it on social media, get the word out, because we know that God will show up on Easter like he does every Sunday when we gather. But this is a weekend that people will typically respond to in terms of being invitational, and I would just love to draw more of those lines from personal invites to a transformed life because of a relationship with Jesus Christ. So we would encourage you to be very invitational this Easter, and if you've never done a Good Friday service this year, and every year we gather for Good Friday, it's a really, really meaningful time, and so we would want you to bring folks to Good Friday as well. Well, I'm excited to continue our series this morning. We've been in a series all month long called Questions from Jesus. These are great questions because, of course, the questions that he asked 2,000 years ago, he's still asking us today. The same questions he asked 2,000 years ago, he's still asking me, he's still asking you, he's asking our church. And I'm praying this morning that our question from today will receive it with fresh eyes and fresh hearts this morning, that God would speak to us in a powerful and meaningful way. As I was kind of praying and discerning and preparing for the question for today, I was reminded of an interview that I watched a number of years ago and rewatched in preparation for this series. It was an interview with a famous NFL quarterback named Tom Brady. Some laughs and some groans. If you don't follow the NFL, if you don't know who Tom Brady is, this will still apply, but Tom is basically the GOAT when it comes to NFL quarterback careers. The guy has had 7 Super Bowl championships in and of himself, 7 championships. To put that in perspective, the Denver Broncos, in all of their history, we have 3. This guy has 7 by himself. 7 in one man's career. That tells you how great he's been and how much we think we're really great, but actually we haven't experienced as much success as we like to sometimes admit. No, there are not very many people in the world. There are not very many people in the world who can say that they were the best at the world for something for like 2 decades. But Tom Brady can say that. And I recently rewatched this interview. It was an interview, you can still find it on YouTube. It was when he was in his 20s, and it was after he won his 3rd Super Bowl. 60 Minutes was interviewing him. And the whole interview was all about Tom winning at such a young age and winning consistently. And the interviewer is asking him all kinds of questions about life and significance and the meaning of this last Super Bowl. And Tom goes, and I quote, "You know, a lot of people," he said, would say that I've reached my goals, that I've reached my dreams. And I think to myself, God, there has got to be more to life than this. He goes, I mean, this can't be all it's cracked out to be. I'm 27 years old. I've won the championships. What else is there for me? And Steve Croft, who was doing the interview at the time, he goes, well, Tom, what's the answer? And Tom goes, I wish I knew. I wish I knew. And he started talking about all these business things that he's going to do and all these significant relationships that he now had and all these different avenues of life that he was going to pursue. And he could tell he was hoping he would find some answers in these new things. But as he was talking about these things, his head was literally shaking no. His body language was betraying his response because deep down, intrinsically and intuitively, he knew that those weren't going to be the answers either. And of course, he went on to win a fourth, a fifth, a sixth, and a seventh Super Bowl. And with every other victory, you knew that he was still lying awake at night wondering, is this all life is cracked out to be? Is this all there is? He wasn't satisfied. And in terms of the sports world, he had achieved the highest level you can achieve over and over and over again. But in the deepest places of his soul, he still had questions. And many of us are searching just like Tom. You're searching this morning, deep down in your guts, in the deepest places of your heart and your mind, the things that keep you up at night are questions like, is this all there is? Is this all life is cracked out to be? Is there anything more to my existence than this? And it doesn't matter if you're exploring faith in God or if you've been a follower of Christ your entire life. We're all searching for something that will satisfy the deepest places of our hearts and our souls. You know, athletes will say, if I win a championship, then I'll finally get there. If I win a championship, I'll finally get there. Singles can sometimes say, if I get married, then I'll get there. Married couples can then combine forces and say, well, if we'll buy a bigger house or if we'll get a better car, then finally we'll get there. If we have grander adventures and we go on more vacations, then we'll finally get there. And other couples, they say, if we have kids, we won't be able to go on as many vacations. We won't have as nice of cars. We'll be poor, but then we'll get there. Even business minds will say, if I can get promoted one more time. Or influencers can say, if I get 10,000 likes or if I can get 100,000 subscriptions on my YouTube channel, then somehow finally I'll get there. Even pastors can be tempted with this. If I can get a bigger platform or a larger church, if I can have more influence in my city, then finally this will be it. But you will never find eternal satisfaction with earthly solutions. You'll never find eternal satisfaction with earthly solutions. The eternal ache of your heart will never be satisfied with the medicine the world has to offer. It might take the edge off for a little bit. You might forget about some of the deeper questions for a while, but eventually you need a cure. You need a cure. And the scriptures teach us that the best cure comes from a life with Christ, specifically a deep and connected and uniquely personal life with Jesus. If you've never considered Jesus, I want to invite you to consider him today. If you've never considered Jesus, then I'm so glad that you find the Vineyard as a place where you can explore your faith. But the passage that we're about to read, our question from Jesus today, it's pretty straightforward. Jesus is pretty direct and he's pretty honest. And because of that, I want to teach this passage in the same way this morning. So let's look at our question for today. Matthew 16, starting in verse 24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross, and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. And our question for today. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? Is anything worth more than your soul? Is anything worth more than your soul? Of course, Jesus knows the answer. Nothing is worth losing your soul over. There's nothing this world can offer you. And as we dig into the depths of your soul this morning, we're going to navigate throughout this morning the ways of your heart, the ways God has created your heart. But on the front end, the first thing that I want you to know and to trust and really to begin to experience is that Jesus cares for your soul. Jesus cares for your soul. He's asking questions like this because he has compassion for your soul. Your soul is deeply valuable to Jesus. He cares about your lived existence on earth. And of course he cares about your eternal existence. Of course he does. But he also deeply cares about your soul here on earth. And sometimes when we read this passage or it's been taught in past years, there's been a little confusion about what it means when Jesus says, you know, what if you gain the whole world and lose your soul? So I just want to clarify it really quickly on the front end is that Jesus is not primarily talking about your eternal salvation in this particular passage. And Jesus is, he's always drawing people to himself. He's always making room for people in heaven. He's always inviting people into a personal relationship with Jesus. And if you're here today and you've never given your life to Christ, we're going to invite you to make that decision by the end of our service this morning. And that first decision to follow Jesus is always the most important decision, right? Because this is where we find total and complete forgiveness. It's where we're given a new heart and a new life with God. It's where we're saved for eternity. But that eternal relationship, it starts the moment you give your life to Christ. And we can begin to experience that transformation this side of eternity. And in this particular passage, that's the emphasis that Jesus is talking about. He's emphasizing our current life, our current existence. For a Hebrew listener, when they would have first heard Jesus ask, this question, or when he would have first been talking about the soul, everyone would have known that Jesus is actually talking about the essence of who you are, the fullness of who you were created to be, your personal and your full self. If you look at the original language, it's where we get the word psyche. It's the part that makes you uniquely you. In quick summary, your soul could be defined as your mind, your will, and your emotions. And Jesus wants you to know that part of being a follower of Christ, part of being a human follower of Christ, is that your soul is alive and well, that it's full of life and vitality, that it's thriving on earth as it will be in heaven someday. And Jesus said this crazy thing at the beginning of this teaching. He says, if you want to find yourself, if you want to find your life full, the only way you can do that is in connection with God, and it requires you to die to self. You have to let go of your old life to lay hold of God. You have to die to your selfish ways to find yourself hidden in Christ. The only way up is down. The only way to find life is to lose it. The only way to embrace eternity is to start dying daily this side of heaven. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, the famous German pastor and theologian during World War II, famously wrote, "When Christ calls a man, when Christ calls a woman, he bids him come and die." He bids him come and die. Jesus cares for you so much. He has so much compassion for your soul that he's willing to tell you how it is. That if you want to follow him, it's about giving up control and laying down your life. It requires letting go so you can lay hold of Christ. And it doesn't mean just one time. It doesn't mean just once. It means over and over and over again. Christ bids you come and die. Now, this wouldn't be such a big deal except for two really important things. One, we don't like giving up control. I think at least a few of us, based on the chuckles, agree with me. We don't like giving up. There are things in our life that we've placed there because we like them there. They give us a sense of comfort or maybe a sense of identity. They shield us from some things in life that we'd rather avoid, and we don't want to give those things up because we like having them in our life. We don't necessarily enjoy giving up control. And the second reason this is really hard is because your soul is under attack. The essence of who you are and your identity and your soul, your mind, will, and emotions, these things are under attack. There is a fight going on for your soul. Your full self, your real self, your mind, will, and emotions are consistently under attack. And it's an attack that's standardized across the human experience. We all experience this to varying degrees in varying seasons. There are times in our life when things seem like they're all well. There are times in life when it seems like everything's falling apart. Each and every one of us, though, we know that we face the temptations and even the attack on our humanity. And I don't want to sound too dramatic. I'm definitely not much of an alarmist anyway, but this is a real biblical truth, that there is an enemy of your soul who is trying to frustrate you and destroy your psyche, destroy all the good things that God has for you. His main purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy everything that God has for you, including your relationship with God and with others. And if the enemy of your soul isn't enough, you also live in the United States of America, which is a wonderful thing at times, but it also means there are billion-dollar companies who spend tons of time and energy and money to make you feel like a fractured self, like you just are a shell of a human. And they're spending all kinds of money to get you to buy their product, so that your fractured self will have a false self and you'll sacrifice your life on the altar of their product. We sacrifice our time and energy and our money on the altar of their products time and time and time again. And then here's the real kicker on top of it all. If those two things aren't enough, we can also be our own worst enemy. We can actually do the devil's job for him. Sometimes he doesn't have to work that hard because we can destroy ourselves. We stand in the way and we block our own healing, and we actually partner with these attacks. And in today's culture, I mean, there's all kinds of things that we could talk about, right? But in today's culture, one of the biggest ways that I feel like we sabotage ourselves are these little rectangles that we carry around in our pockets everywhere that we go. It doesn't matter if the new version has got titanium or not. It's going to attack your soul. And every time you pick it up, you can either be partnering with the kingdom or, unfortunately, at times, you can be partnering with the enemy. We spend hours scrolling and swiping and liking and comparing and judging. And the whole time, we're trading real connection with real people and a real God for two-dimensional images and two-dimensional results. This is what's happening to our souls on a consistent basis. I mean, eventually you have to pull this thing out. And I don't know how much you're into talking to inanimate objects, but you have to ask, is this thing worth stealing my soul? And based on how you answer that, you've got to do some things in your life that maybe set you up for vitality and success or not. A few years ago, that little rectangle was destroying my soul. I got caught up in the online arguments. I got sucked into the time traps that kept me from a real life with God and with others. I even found myself comparing my life with the life of other pastors, which is a really depressing thought. But you know, like what happened is it made me feel like I was always losing. It made me feel like I was always losing, like I was always up against some kind of invisible scorecard that God never created in the first place. And then I looked at my weekly screen time and I was appalled. So I had to die to self a little bit. And I just deleted all the social media on my phone. It wasn't worth my soul. I stopped promoting myself. I stopped needing to be an influencer. I stopped wasting my time and damaging my soul to meet this standard that God never set in the first place. I deleted all the social media, and I can promise you, I feel so free. I never check it, because because I don't have it. If you've been like searching for me on Facebook, I don't have an account. You will not find me. Unfortunately, I think I still have an Instagram account. So if you've like tried to message me on Instagram and you haven't gotten a response for 3 years, that's why. I love you. I'm just not on there. I'm in here. Face to face. We could talk. It would be amazing. I was tired of having social media on my mind when I woke up. I was tired of thinking about it when I went to bed. And I realized this little rectangle was robbing me of deeper things. And there's tension, right? And here's the tension for all of you to discern with in your own life, in your own self, is that social media can actually be a tool used for the kingdom of God. I have some friends who can use it for amazing things in the kingdom. But for me, it was something that I had to get rid of. It was a trap. Maybe I'll go back someday, maybe not. But what I've noticed is that in my heart, I have an indifference to social media now, and it's such a great place to be. That's what it was for me. I doubt everything that I've gone through is exactly what you're going through, but my hope is that by sharing my story, we can draw a line to what's going on for you and what's attacking your soul. Are you willing to do something drastic? Are you willing maybe even to die a little bit in order to lay hold of Christ? So let's just get more personal. Let's just get a little more uncomfortable this morning. It'll be really fun, right? It will be fun for me. I don't know if it'll be fun for you or not. Look at verse 26. This is what Jesus says. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? Is anything worth more than your soul? All you have to do to find some things that maybe you're holding on to is just fill in at the end of that verse or at the beginning of the verse with some of your temptations. What do you benefit? What do you benefit if you gain the whole social media world but lose your soul? That's how I would read that. What do you benefit if you get a whole bunch more money? What do you benefit if you buy the nice car or you upgrade the home or you finally get the corner office and you can boss people around? What do you benefit if it costs you your soul? Is the American dream, is the millennial dream, is the Gen Z dream, is it worth the attack on your soul? What do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your friendships? What do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your marriage or lose your kids or lose your own mental health or your own peace, or if you lose track of God's purpose and presence and calling in your life? What is it worth it? Jesus cares about the well-being of your soul. And since our souls are under such attack, it's important to check in. It's important to ask God to speak to us about these things. So let me ask you a question that my pastors ask me, that my mentors ask me. How is your soul? How is your soul today, in the moment? As your pastor, let me ask you. In fact, don't even hear me asking. Hear the Lord asking you through me this morning. How is your soul truly? Is it hanging on by a thread? Is it teetering because you're unwilling to let go of some things that you know are damaging your soul? Take note this morning. Ask God that question. If we can't be a church that asks questions like this, why are we even gathering? We've got to be able to ask questions like this. We have to invite the Lord to speak to us about questions like this. How is your soul? One of the men I look up to, someone who has pastored for a really long time and now someone who pastors other pastors like me, asks this question almost every single time I see him. I have zero memory of him ever asking me how many people have been baptized at our church in the last year. I have zero memory of him ever asking about our budget or new projects that are happening. He's never asked about the Love Foco building, ever. He cares, but he doesn't. He asks, Jeff, how is your soul? How is your soul? And he's a big guy. He's a big guy, and he's got real godly eyes, the kind of eyes that are like loving, but also a little intimidating at the same time, like looks at you, and he kind of, you know he knows whether or not you're lying. He just like sees right into your soul, and it's with those eyes that he goes, how is your soul? And he's a big guy, so with a big voice. He goes, how's your soul? And at first, it sounded kind of weird. This might sound weird for you right now, me asking you. But it's a really important question. Honestly and truthfully, at the core of your being, at the core of who you are, how is your soul? Are you healthy? Are you unhealthy? Do you know the indicators of health? Do you know the indicators of unhealth in your own life? If you don't know, or if you've never thought about these things before, it's okay. Welcome to the Vineyard. We'll do a lot of first things around here together. We'll talk about uncomfortable things together. This is good. If you've never thought about this before, I want to encourage you to start thinking about it today. Think about the indicators in your own life that demonstrate a trajectory of health or unhealth. Pay attention to those. On a personal note, with complete transparency to you, I have learned over the years of following Christ that there are three key things that are, if they're in my life, I'm growing towards health, and if they're not in my life, something needs to change. And I give you permission to ask me these three things whenever you want. By asking me these things, you'll know how my soul's health is doing. Number one, how are my spiritual disciplines? Number two, how are my hobbies? Number three, how is my marriage? How are my spiritual disciplines? How are my hobbies? How is my marriage? Is it intimate? I mean intimate, like personal deep connection. I mean intimate, but I also mean intimate. And depending how bold you are and how unfiltered I feel, you never know what kind of answer you're gonna get. Those are the three things. They're not all super holy. They're not all super holy. But this is how it's worked for me. If I have active spiritual disciplines in my life, it's because I'm waking up early enough to spend time alone with God, and I have found that to be incredibly important for me. Otherwise, my work becomes my personal relationship with Jesus, and I've just realized I don't want to lead that way. And so I know that if my spiritual disciplines start to slip, that something needs to change. It also means I'm probably staying up too late, and now all of a sudden, I don't think I'm going to have enough time to work out. All of those things aren't true for me. Those are really, really important indicators for me. One, do I have an active life of spiritual disciplines? Two, if I don't have any hobbies, it's because I'm overworking or overcommitted. It's just a reality for me. And listen, with my personality and my temperament mixed with my brokenness, I've been a workaholic before and I could be one again. This is just the reality. And I've realized that hobbies mean I unplug from producing for the world, even producing good things for God, for at least one day a week, and I find my contentment in the presence of Christ and Christ alone. And three, my marriage. My marriage impacts my fatherhood, my marriage impacts my leadership, and if my soul is healthy, I'm a more loving and patient husband. I'm going to God for healing instead of spewing out my anxiety and stress on Natalie or my family, and that's a pretty good indicator that all is well with my soul. Those three things, that's what I found. That's me. Again, my things probably aren't exactly your things. There might be some similarities. The important thing is that I want to live transparently enough with you so that you can ask yourself these important questions and think, what are the indicators of health in my life? What are the indicators that things are not going very well that needs to bring a sense of change? Maybe even dying to self, letting go of my current life so that I can lay hold of Christ. But at the Vineyard, look, the world right now is trumpeting self-care like it's the best thing you could ever imagine. I'm not fully against that, but at the Vineyard, we're more into soul care than self-care. How is your soul? And I want to remind you that there are scores of people in this church who would love to sit with you and ask you questions like this. Every small group leader in our church that I know would love to care for you. would love to help guide you and pastor you and help you grow. We even have spiritual directors at our church who will sit with you for free and meet with you and ask you amazing questions, help you slow down in this hurried American life, help you notice the health of your soul and how it's interacting with God. We have people who will do that. At VOTRweekly.org, I put a link to an email in my sermon notes from one of our spiritual directors. And if you might want to meet with her, she'd love to help you and guide you and direct your personal experience of God through the mundaneness of life and the healing of your soul. These are things that you can take advantage of at the Vineyard. These are things that are important to talk about. They're vital to ask God questions about and ask others who are really in your life so that we can discover our indicators of health. And so that when things get a little sideways, we can catch it early and we can go running back to God, seeking all that he has for us. Here's where I'm going to close this morning. In this passage, we learn, obviously, Jesus cares about your soul. And I think right now, right here in this church, he is asking you in this moment, son, daughter, brother, sister, how is your soul? He deeply cares for you. He knows the enemy of your soul is roaring like a lion looking to devour you. He knows the world is after your soul, and he knows that we can be our own worst enemy. And it would be really weird if God created you this way, but also didn't give you a way out. It'd be really weird if he created humans in a way to struggle with some of this, to have fractured identities and the reality that this could be true and left you alone, forcing you to figure out your own healing or white-knuckling it until you get to heaven someday. But God didn't leave you alone. He didn't leave you with no answers, and he didn't leave you without hope. God emptied heaven to save your soul. And you don't have to wait for eternity to experience transformation. Jesus left heaven and dwelt among us. He lived a perfect life. He died on the cross, was buried in the tomb, and conquered death itself so that you could be chosen and forgiven and transformed and adopted into the family of God. He did this so you could join his mission of transforming all things from the inside out. He died so your soul could be made whole and complete for eternity, but also starting today. So let me ask one more time. In this present moment, how is your soul? How is your soul? Let's pray.